My name is Al Morse, and today we're going to be talking about a subject I call the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. And we're going to be talking about the importance of the blood of Christ in our life and our salvation. I'd like for you to get in your Bibles, get your Bibles out, and get you some pencils and papers and write these verses down as we go through them so you can look back towards these things and be able to go over them again so that they can be in your mind and in your heart so that you can use these things to tell people about the gospel. These are tremendously important to get right in this book and study it so that you can really study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the Word of God. This is tremendously important so that you can show this to people, because when they look in the Scriptures, things happen. The Holy Spirit really works when they get in the book and they see what these things are and understand them. And we as believers, we need to be able to tell people and show people these things so that they too can have salvation. We're going to turn today and we're going to start off in Hebrews chapter 9. And our subject again is the blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 9. And we're going to be looking at verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 22. It says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission." You see, from Adam all the way to Christ's earthly ministry, the sacrificial situations took effect. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? God had to, they found themselves naked and they covered themselves with fig leaves. Before that, they didn't know that. There was nothing in their mind to think that they were naked. They were just, everything was perfect. But when they sinned, when Satan deceived them, when they ate of this fruit, their eyes were opened up and all of a sudden they saw, "Whoa, I'm naked." And so they covered themselves with fig leaves. But what happened? When God found them, He had to kill an animal to cover their nakedness with skins. But you see, it wasn't that covering that counted. It was the fact that he had to shed the blood of this animal in order to cover their sins. And the covering of sins has been involved, the world has been involved in that all the way from Adam all the way to Jesus' walk on this earth, where we had the person. Remember when Cain and Abel, they were told that they had to bring a sacrifice, and it had to be an animal sacrifice, and it had to kill, and it had to be a blood sacrifice. And we know that Abel brought a blood sacrifice, and God accepted it from a sheep, a lamb. But then Cain, he didn't. He brought a grain sacrifice. He was a grain farmer. He gave him the best he had. But you see, God rejected it because it wasn't a blood sacrifice. Why was it blood sacrifice important? Because in God's eyes, sin was that bad, something had to die to cover that sacrifice. So like we just saw, without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin whatsoever. But you see, it didn't work. It really didn't work. Let's go on. We're going to turn to look at verses 11. Verses 11. Here in Hebrews, the same chapter, verses 11, it says, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things, to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, made not with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." That's what happened when Christ died on that cross. He took his own blood up to heaven into the Holy of Holies, which was in heaven. And it was one time. And when he did that, he obtained eternal redemption for us. And that is why that we look to the cross for salvation. We're not looking for the name of Jesus. We're looking for what he did. And he died on that cross because he shed his blood, and then he was able to take that blood up into the heavenlies, into the true temple. And he actually, it only had to do it once to this holy place, and he attained eternal redemption for us. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 10. Hebrews chapter 10, just over to the right, the next book chapter. It says, "By which were we all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering the offering, often the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right hand of God." Henceforth expecting till his enemies is made his footstool. It says, verse 14, "For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified." Perfected us. All those who believe the gospel, that's how we get sanctified. We believe the gospel, and all he's asking us to do is believe what he did. To believe that he died for us. He died for our sins, that he was buried, and he rose again. Because if he hadn't risen again, that would mean that God didn't accept his sacrifice. But he did rise, and God did accept his sacrifice. And all he asks us to do is to believe it. To believe it. How wonderful. And it's because of the blood that he shed on that cross. You see, there's people today, there's denominations today, that are actually doing away with the hymnals that have anything to say about the blood of Christ. And it is this holy foolishness, because if it wasn't for the blood of Christ, and he was able to take that blood up to the Holy of Holies in heaven, and for one time entered, and for our sacrifice, we would never, never, ever, ever be saved, and never go to heaven, and our sins would never be forgiven. But he did, and because we believe it, we're saved. Because we believe it, we're saved. Let's look at Romans chapter 3. Turn to Romans, back to the left, all the way back to the first part of the New Testament. Romans, let's look at verses 3. Chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 25. It says, "Whom God," verses 25. Romans 3:25, "whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare us righteous for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." It was through his blood that we have remissions of our sins. Through his blood that we've been totally cleansed, and we can stand before God perfect. Perfect, sin-free, because of what he did. He's paid for our sins on that cross through shedding of his blood. Look at Romans chapter 5 and what it says. Romans chapter 5. And let's look at verses 8. Romans chapter 5, verses 8, 9, and 10. "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, he died for us. We were sinners. And you see, that's why people think, "Well, I'm going to clean up my act and then I'll come to God." No, he wants you to come just like you are. And he'll clean you up. You can't do it on your own. He'll give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be in you, sealed in you, and he will guide and direct you away from the sins that you're involved with, and he can just make it total, just walk away from it because of the power of God that's in you. "Much more then, being now," verses 9, "much more, being now justified by," what? His blood. We're justified by His blood. We shall be saved from that wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Because Christ died on that cross and shed His blood, we are reconciled to God, and we don't have to deal with God's wrath. He took the wrath of us. Think about this for a second. When God died on that cross, He went through all kinds of horrible things before the cross. We knew He was beaten horribly bad. It said in Isaiah that His face was, there's no countenance was so marred than His in Isaiah 52. And then He also stated, we know that he was beaten with the cat of nine tails. And we know that He was put on that cross and He was nailed to it with big spikes through His hands and His feet. The agony, it was horrible what He went through. But the wrath of God came upon Him then against the sin, your sin and my sin, for the sins of everybody in the whole world. That wrath of God came on Jesus Christ. You see, there's no words to even explain or to even describe what Jesus went through to pay the sin debts for the world, because now, but we don't have to face that wrath because God, Jesus, took that wrath upon Himself. He took it for our sins and for the sins of the whole world, from Adam all the way to the last person on this earth. On this earth, and that's talking about the Hitlers and the murderers and the thieves and the robbers, the rapists, the killers, the mass murderers all over this world. He took the wrath of God on Him for them, and all they would have to done is believe that He did it. That's all they had to do. That's the gospel. We believe that Christ died for our sins, and He was buried, and He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. Let's turn back to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians. Go to the right. To Ephesians, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and we go to Galatians, and then we go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, and look what it says. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It says, in whom, I'll slow down. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. We're redeemed because of His blood on the cross. He's died for us in the shedding of His blood and the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Of His grace. He's the one that took all this horrible wrath upon Him and went through this horrible death to pay for our sins. And all we have to do is believe it, and we'll benefit from that for eternal life with God. That's what being saved is. Look at chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 12. 12 and 13. Chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. It says, this is Ephesians. Chapter 2, verses 12. And at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. You see, that's what the Gentiles were at the time when Christ walked on this earth. They had no idea about the commonwealth of Israel, and the covenants, and the promises, and the hope. Had no idea. At all. But now, when's now? This is after the cross. And he's dealing with the Gentile people. Who are the Gentile people? We are. He's dealing with us. You see, during His walk on this earth, He couldn't deal with us. He came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's where the people, Christians today, don't understand. He had nothing to do with the Gentiles, which are us. during his earthly ministry. There's no salvation for us in his earthly ministry. He said it in his own words, and he commanded his disciples not to go to the Gentiles. And then he also himself, he says, I have only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You see, he couldn't go because he was here. They were there to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant, and the Abrahamic covenant was to Abraham's seed, and there was no Gentiles in Abraham's seed, and he couldn't do it. He'd be a liar if he did. But after the cross, it was a whole different ball of wax. He knew when he was walking the streets of Israel in his times, when he walked on here for 3 years doing all the great miracles and doing the things that God was doing through him, he knew he was God. He knew that after the cross, he was going to deal with us, and this is what he did. He says, but now, verses 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, who once was far, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who once were far off, made near by the blood of Christ. You see, we were made near to God through the blood of Christ. And all we had to do is believe it. Because he died for our sins. And he was buried and he rose from the dead. That's all he asked us to do. And that's what he made for salvation for the body of Christ. This new church that he called out, and it was mainly Gentiles because the Jews totally rejected him. Totally rejected him. They killed him. You couldn't be rejected any more than that. They killed him. And so he called out a whole new body of people, a new church. And this new church was the body of Christ. And we were brought to him by believing the gospel, believing that he died, he shed his blood for us, he died for us, pay for our sins. And all we can say is, hallelujah. There's no ifs and buts about that. Hallelujah. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Go to Colossians. We're at Ephesians, and then we're going to go to Philippians, and then we're going to go to Colossians. Going to Colossians chapter 1. And verses 12 and 14, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. How do we have redemption? Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. You see, we have redemption through his blood on that cross. He died and shed his blood on that cross, and it gave us forgiveness for our sins. And he paid the sins for every person on this earth. And all we have to do is to believe it. That's the gospel. All we have to do is believe it. That's the gospel. Now we look at this, and we say to ourselves, was it not logical that when Christ set aside Israel and decided to have a whole new church, a whole new body of Christ that was set aside from Judaism totally, that he would make his salvation to dealing with not his earthly walk, but with what he actually did on that cross? It was logical that he'd point to the cross for the salvation for the church. And that's what the gospel is. The church. Let's look at verses. Just turn back to John chapter 14. John. We go clear back through the New Testament, and we go Acts and then back to John. And look at John chapter 14. And this is something that Christendom doesn't want to look at. But this is Jesus' words. This is Jesus' words. Look at verse 10. John chapter 14, verses 10. And it says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? For the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. And he doeth the works. Did you get that? Look at this. Read this again. For the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. In other words, he said that the words that Jesus spoke on this earth didn't come from him. It came from the Father. And he doeth the works. Think about that now. I could say without any, just, there's no way I couldn't say these next words. Jesus never said a word when he walked on this earth. Everything that he said in all of his sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, all this stuff, it wasn't Jesus speaking. He just said it. It was God speaking through him. And he doeth the works. Look at the hundreds, maybe thousands of people that he healed. And when they were on the ship, when the sea was so bad that they thought they were going to sink, who stood up and said, "Peace be still"? It was God. God did those things. It was God working through him. And guess who he was? Who was Jesus? Let's turn back you to Matthew. To Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And see who Jesus really was. We'll say 13. When Jesus came into the borders of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am the Son of Man am?" And he said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then he said unto them, "But who you say that I am?" And what did Peter say? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ." What's the Christ mean? That's the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Who is that? That's the second person of the Trinity. And we know the Son of the living God, the Son of God, is the one who took on a body and was born of a virgin and walked on this earth, but they called him Jesus. So Jesus was just a name. He was the Son of God. And who worked through the Son of God? Who created the world through the Son of God? God did. God created the world, but he did it through the Son of God, which we call Jesus Christ. And it was all created by him and for him, but it was done by God, because there's only one God, and he's the one who did it. He's the one that spoke. So he's the one that spoke. And so now, Jews totally rejected him. When the Jews, they totally rejected him, and he started a new church. And he's going to call it the body of Christ, and he was going to be the head of it. And this new church, isn't it logical that he pointed salvation not to Jesus, because that was just a name. He pointed it to what Jesus did. You see, God could speak to him, God could do miracles through him, but there's one thing that God couldn't do. God couldn't die. He couldn't die. And that's what Jesus did. He died on that cross to pay the sin debt. And that's why that was one thing that Jesus did totally by himself. He did it. And when he did it, he paid the sin debts for the whole world when he did it, the final sacrifice for sin. And so when the new body of Christ came up, what did he point to? Did he point to himself, believing in himself, believing in Jesus? No. He pointed into believing the gospel, believing that he died. He pointed to the cross, that he died for our sins. That's salvation, because that's what he did. And if he hadn't, we'd still be in our sins. We'd still be lost. But he did. He has us put our trust totally in what he did, not who he was. Because what he did is what saved us. And that's why the gospel is so important. And that's why he told Paul that you have to believe, they have to believe this gospel for salvation. That Christ died for their sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And he made it so important. Let's turn to Galatians. Turn to Galatians. Clear back to Galatians. Chapter 1. Here's how important it truly is. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8. He said, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you," he said, "let them be accursed." What did 9 say? "As we said before, so I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which you have received, let him be accursed." And you know, the Christian today is not preaching the gospel. You see, I'm 70, almost 71 years of age as I sit here, and I have yet to hear the gospel preached in my lifetime. Not anywhere. I haven't heard it preached in a church. I heard it over the TV for Les Feldick. He showed me the gospel, and I saw that. I couldn't believe how I could have missed it. They don't preach the gospel. They preach Jesus. But Jesus isn't pointing to who he was. He's pointing to what he did for our salvation. And that's what he died on that cross for our sins. And preaching in Jesus isn't the gospel. And our churches have totally turned their back on God by preaching Jesus for your salvation. Sure, it was Jesus that died, but Jesus himself pointed us to not his name, but what he did for our salvation. What he did for our salvation. And that's why the gospel and the shedding of blood is the most important thing we can believe in. We know he shed his blood for us. And if he hadn't, we would never, ever, ever have our sins paid for and would never, ever go to heaven. I just can't imagine what has happened to Christendom today, except the fact that Satan himself has deceived this world more than any person in the whole wide world. And I just, beyond my imagination, what has happened. But I'm telling you right now, there's only salvation in the gospel. And it's just as plain as day. That's the only thing that Paul preached. And that's what God told him to preach. That's what Jesus told him to preach. The gospel. Let us pray. Father, I just pray that you open the minds and hearts of every person here to understand the precious, your precious blood that was shed for you, us, that we could, knowing that we believe that we can have eternal life. And that I just pray that you open their minds to the gospel before it's too late, that they would truly believe the gospel for their salvation. And I pray in Jesus' precious name, amen.